Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and today our guest on the Early Accountability Podcast is Anitra Duran Allen. Anitra is a certified family and relationship coach who provides success tools for moms raising high-achieving children in the areas of athletics, academics, and performing arts. A certified project management professional, she walked away from corporate America when the pull between fully committed to her career and fully committed to her family became too great. Now, as a parenting and lifestyle content creator, Anitra teaches parents how to create success in their own homes with the skills they learn on the job. Welcome, Anitra.
Thank you, Kimmy. I'm so excited to be here today.
We are so happy to have you. Why don't you start just by telling the audience a little bit about yourself, about your blog, about the movement that you started, and how it kind of came to be what it is today?
Absolutely. I grew up as a gifted child. I was very smart in school, but I was also pretty athletic and talented. So I was a singer and a performer as a kid. And growing up with those gifts was a challenge. It was a challenge in a few ways. Many times I was expected to do things that I just wasn't developmentally ready for. Even though I had, you know, the intellect and the ability to do some of the other things, emotionally, I just wasn't ready. And also, my mom worked in the banking system in the 80s. So she worked during the savings and loan crisis, and she traveled for like, it was a really, really long time that she was traveling to all these savings and loans, helping to convert their systems. As I was growing up in elementary school, I got to spend a lot of time by myself, as it were, and learned that there are just some things that kids should not have to figure out on their own. So when I became a parent, when I graduated from college, I met my husband in college. We started our life together after graduating college. I committed myself to making sure that my children would have the time and attention that I wanted to give them and be able to fully develop anything, any dreams that they had, any skills that they had, anything that they wanted to do, that they expressed an interest and an aptitude for. I wanted to be able to support them 100%. And that's where, you know, the statement about the pull between being fully committed to my career and fully committed to my family was a struggle, because I understood what it felt like to be a kid with these high abilities and dreams and to not be able to pursue them just because my parents worked a lot. And I'm not downing anything about their parenting style. That's just the, you know, what things were at the time that I was growing up in the 80s. But now things are different and I have the opportunity to do something different. And I want to help other parents recognize their opportunities to do something different in supporting their high achieving children also.
That's awesome. So tell us about your leap into, you said you left, you know, to become do full time to support your children, spend more time at home. What kind of made you want to start like a blog or a website or really start creating content around that topic?
Absolutely. When I got pregnant with my first child, now I've been raising children for 20 years, which I know sounds crazy, but I have. I took in my niece when I was 21 years old. She came to live with my husband and me, 21 or 22, I don't remember. She came to live with my husband and me. So I started parenting when I was basically still a child myself. Like I was just getting into the throes of full-fledged adulthood, and now I had this other person to take care of. And then my husband has a son. So I have a bonus son, and that's a whole different story for a different day. But he's 19, and he came to live with us when he was 3. So I have been parenting for a really, really long time. But when I had my biological first child, we were living in a really small town in North Central Indiana that was very secluded, not a whole lot of diversity at all. And I was this young African-American professional woman having this baby and had no community whatsoever. And when I found the community that was as most comfortable for me, it still just didn't fit. I didn't feel like I belonged. And I've always wanted to be a really good wife and mom, but I found myself searching for this community that didn't exist where I resided. And I went online. And for me, that was very different. I started college the same year Netscape went public and was available for people to actually use the internet. So I kind of grew up with the growth and the birth of online communities and using the internet and Google searches and building websites and all those kinds of things. So I wasn't unfamiliar with it, but I was new to the concept of people sharing their stories and having their own websites and doing all these things online. I found myself being attracted to that kind of community because I didn't have it where I existed. So when we did leave that small community and I had the opportunity to step away from being in corporate America, I realized that what drew me to my community and what helped me find my community could be the same thing that I could offer other women. Now, I have never done well in corporate America.
Okay.
I'm just not suited for it. You know, I have a degree in engineering. I loved the development aspect of it. I am a certified project manager. I love pulling together plans and organizations and finding efficiencies and developing process and strategy for people to get their jobs done in a more efficient manner. I just can't do it under the guise of corporate America. I don't know. It just didn't work for me. So when I had that opportunity to walk away from it, I realized that the things that I loved the most about working in corporate America were the things that I was bringing home to run my family more efficiently and to help get things done better at home. And I realized that I think most parents, especially when you have a high achieving parent, most high achieving children have high achieving parents. When you have a high achieving parent, a lot of times we separate in our minds the things that we do for our work that are high achieving, whether it's in corporate America or entrepreneurship or the nonprofit world. The things that we do for our work that make us so successful, we often don't realize that they're the exact same skills that we need to use at home to be successful. Because at the end of the day, I read a book by Patrick Lencioni. He's the author of The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, which is a fantastic book. He wrote a book about families called The Three Big Questions for a Frantic Family. And he says in that book, and this is what really kind of turned the light bulb on me, is that our family is the primary organization in our lives. So why wouldn't we run it like we run our business? Mm. You know, like why wouldn't we approach our families with the same mindset and the same strategies that we do to make our business successful? We can make our family just as successful, if not more. And I committed myself to taking the information that we use every day on our jobs without even thinking about it, without question, and translating it into a tangible concept that people could use in their homes.
That's awesome. On the Mom on the Move is your website and the community that you created, correct?
Yes.
And you also do experience bliss coaching. I wanted you to talk a little bit about that and how that ties into the Mom on the Move. And what are some of the biggest hurdles or the most consistent hurdles you see mothers of high achieving children experiencing?
Yeah. So one of the very first things that I did in my process of establishing this community building that I was doing is I wrote a book. And I started off focusing on more marriage related concepts than family related concepts, just because it felt easier to me. My children were still quite young when I started this process back in 2011. And I knew that they were going to be doing the things that they're doing now, but they hadn't started doing them yet. So I started off focusing on family, and I wrote a book, and it's called Experience Bliss in Your Relationships. And bliss stands for being loved in a safe space, because that's what everybody wants. They want to be happy in a happy, healthy, reciprocal relationship, whether it's marriage or parenting or family or work. Whatever it is, people want to find bliss. And I think that that is the biggest challenge, not just in marriages, but also in parent relationships, especially when you have this high achiever that's got a heightened capacity, so high intellect, and the ability to rationalize and understand things of intellect, but they're still developmentally and emotionally children. And I think the biggest challenge we have is facing our children at their level. And that is what the whole concept of being loved in a safe space and creating a blissful environment for your family is all about. And that's where I always start with all of my families, because even if they're good at it, there are ways to improve and there might be some gaps in the process. It's focused around a few concepts about how you love, how you communicate, and how you think. Because what you understand and perceive as love, and a five love languages is like my number one recommendation for anybody out there, anywhere in a relationship of any kind, is for you to read and understand that concept. How you loved determines what you think about that person and the things that they are doing, saying, and how they're interacting with you. And that in turn determines how you act or behave and based on how you process. And once you're able to interact in a way with your children, your spouse, your significant other, your coworkers, your boss, that helps you dictate and predict those behaviors because you can cultivate the kind of behavior that you want to see because you understand that person from the inside out, that's when you and your other person in that relationship can begin to experience bliss. And that's one of the main things I start with my parents.
That's great. Can you tell us more about the services that you offer or some of the communities, how people could kind of get involved in the mom on the move if they're looking for this kind of support system as well or this kind of community that you've built?
Absolutely. You can always visit my website, themomonthemove.com, where I share success tools for moms raising high achieving children in the areas of academics, athletics, and performing arts. I also have a Facebook group. It's called Moms of High Achievers. It is connected to my Facebook page, The Mom on the Move. Everywhere on social media, I am The Mom on the Move. So if Instagram or Twitter is your thing, you can find me there also at The Mom on the Move. But my Facebook group is where we get a little more intimate in sharing and supporting each other in our process of understanding the best way to pull out from our high achievers and our children the things that are best for them, as well as discovering their areas of giftedness and expertise.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you have created a mirage of opportunities for mothers to seek support and community in supporting their children and their diverse needs. Like you said, the way they love, the way they achieve, still helping them reach their goals, but staying together too with yourself and practicing self-care and just how we are in our relationships, period, with our children, at work, out in the world. So I think that is super awesome. Anitra, you are super, super busy, like you said, and super talented. How do you keep it all together? Like, what's your daily mantra? What keeps you going? What keeps you focused when you have all these things on your plate, when you're trying to balance all the activities that your children are in and your family is, you know, participating in? How do you keep it all together? How do you bring it in?
Oh my gosh. I think this was the hardest question. It really was. Honestly, as I said, I'm a recovering perfectionist. My daughter has a tinge, both of my kids have a tinge of perfectionism and they get it from me. But in the process of learning and discovering and growing in my own family and helping other families to learn and discover and grow, I realized that the biggest thing is that you can only do what you can do. Mm. There's only so much time in a day, there's only 60 seconds in a minute, and how you choose to spend that will determine what you've done at the end of the day. And you can only do 24 hours worth of work in a day. So whatever gets done, whatever doesn't gets moved to the next day.
Yes, that's awesome. And I think that really helps with the whole perfectionism and keep pushing forward. Anitra Duran Allen, thank you so much. The Mom on the Move, a very awesome community. I highly support people looking into it. Not even if you just have little ones, but teenagers and children in higher education, college as well. Like you said, you've supported children across the lifespan. So definitely, definitely look into her community, not even if you just have little tiny ones. So thank you again, Anitra. We welcome you back on the Early Accountability Podcast. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me, Kimmy. It's been great.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.